Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi, welcome to today's Irish Tech News Podcast. I got Sahasi Kiran, Chief Marketing and Product Officer for Arieka. How are you doing, Sazi?
It's great to be here, Ron. Happy Friday.
Same to you, and I hope your Friday's going good so far, because it's the start of a nice, beautiful weekend over where I am.
It is. You know, all the days seem merged together now, but we're enjoying the flavor of each day as it comes.
That's good, and hopefully with the pandemic, that flavor is slowly getting stronger. As we get more people vaccinated and more people back to normal, we're soon going to be back to doing what we do best, and you're back to doing what you guys do best as well.
Absolutely. I think we've all adapted very remarkably during these times, and so it's going to be yet another adaptation.
I think it's because technology. We had the technology to do it. 20 years ago, we couldn't do it. 10 years ago, we couldn't do it properly. Now we've got the fact that we've got mobile devices, we've got the cloud, everyone's more has got broadband where they live, so it's easier to remote work.
Yeah, it is, and you have the sense of being always connected, and Sometimes that can be a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, for me, it's good, because if you're working from home, you can work your own hours, and it means basically if you have children, you can go and take them to and from school, and they come back and do your work, and you can work longer for that, and it's great that you can do flexible hours.
Yeah, flexibility is huge.
Yeah. You know,
I think that's suddenly become a top of mind for a lot of the CIOs that we conversed today. How do they get their employees to be much more productive while still getting a lot of flexibility to do what they do?
Yeah, and also they're not finding out that Zoom is their best friend.
It has been. You know, I think it suddenly became a noun, which is one of the most popular nouns on the planet.
Yeah.
So I think that's a telling of the times.
Because I used to use a lot of interviews, you'd have podcasts via Skype. And I've only used Skype once or twice in the past 18 months. It's always been Zoom now.
Yeah, it eventually boils down to, I guess, ease of use and what's enabling you to manage change quickly. And I guess amongst all of these collaboration platforms, Zoom somehow seemed to get that edge. So good for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you bought shares in Zoom right now, you'd be worth a fortune. You bought it back about 2-3 years ago, before Zoom is what it is now.
Yeah, the stock price certainly zoomed.
Yeah, it has. So we'll get back to brass tacks. What does Arieka do, and what do you do in Arieka?
Yeah, look, Arieka is a global leader, and to put it simply, in terms of managing the kind of things that we just talked about, we have a global network. We allow office workers to connect to their office environments, regardless of which location they're in. We allow for office locations to really get access to the kind of applications they want, regardless of where that application is. And it is about making employees more, you know, productive and collaborative. And so the category we play in is broadly known as software-defined WAN. So it's the wide area connectivity.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of security also coming about. So there's a new shift happening towards another category called SASE. But essentially it is about connecting organizations, securing them. And we do that as best of breed vendor and provider in the industry.
And I guess you've also got a lot of big name clients using your products.
Yeah, our focus is on mid to large enterprises. So yes, we do have a lot of pretty high profile customers who use us as their network of choice and as a provider of choice. So that's actually been one of the best things in my job as a chief marketing officer, to talk to these customers and, you know, bring them on board, tell their stories, which is always very gratifying.
And I guess also you're selling them that because of the pandemic, the benefits of remote working and how you can help them do that properly and safely.
Yeah, I often talk about this as the greatest human migration we saw in terms of the number of office workers that had to work from home. And now we're probably going to see this reverse migration happen where all of them who are now working from home need to head back in some way, shape, or form to the office. I think to the discussion we were having before, every organization is thinking about how to make this happen in the most flexible way. And I think there's going to be some rethinking in terms of how they affect it. It is not going to be the same rules as they played by before.
I think also it's going to be more basically hybrid, where you spend part of the week at home and part of the week in the office, and you're using hot desks with other of your colleagues to save office space.
That's right. As technology workers, you know, we've all been used to that part-time work environment from home, but there are a number of trades for whom this was never an option. And now they've suddenly all discovered that there is an option and it is possible to do it. So I would imagine a lot of the impact would be felt outside of the traditional tech industry, and everybody is going to be looking at how best they accommodate their work needs while balancing their life. In fact, I've seen number of employees move to different cities, organizations shift their office profile and demographics. So it's given everybody a lot of food for thought.
And also, I guess, it happens to save money, because if you're renting in the big city, like for example, in Dublin, the rents are pretty high. And if you can work from somewhere else remotely with lower living costs, it's a win-win as well.
It is. And I think that goes to employee retention, because you can get same quality employee at another location. You just need to, as an organization, set the right kind of expectations and make sure nobody is getting penalized for this kind of work environment moving forward.
Because I can see in the long term, where you might have in a small town, you can have remote working desk hubs, work hubs that people would use to work from rather than go back to the office because it's too far away.
I think that's right. I mean, we saw a number of these WeWork type organizations mushroom up in part to give flexibility to this workspace, if you will.
Yeah.
And it allowed employees that weren't in a position to commute to longer distances or in smaller cities where the organization didn't want to invest in huge building infrastructure to get the semblance of an office, have some of their workers and really kind of separate the boundary between their home environment and work environment. I think that's going to become a key component of the corporate strategy, not an offshoot like it was before.
Yeah, because I think the work environment has changed forever, and what we once knew it as is not there. So no more water cooler moments, and no more where you can have thousands of people in an office building.
That's right. Even in Arjeka, for example, you know, we renewed our lease last year, just at the beginning of the pandemic, and we kind of had an inkling of how this would, you know, go about. We didn't know how long the pandemic would last, but it had already forced our thought process and how should we look at the workplace seating environment. And so we had to move to a new building, a bigger office premise. It was fortunately close by across the parking lot. But we set up this concept of hoteling, which meant giving a larger percentage of the employees more flexibility in terms of when they could come to the office and not necessarily have a dedicated seating space. And every manager is empowered to see how many of their employees can hotel. So that way it is a much more optimal seating environment, but we benefited from having larger conference rooms. So there are more meeting rooms when employees come about.
Yeah.
I think it's a good trade-off.
I can imagine that about 3 or 4 years ago, in the office you'd all be using desktops and also laptops. So with laptops, it requires less desk space as well, so you can fit more employees in.
Yeah, it is a lot about mobility, flexibility. So today we are in what we call as the cloud-first, mobile-first world, right? And those dynamics started to change more than a decade ago, and we're still seeing the ramifications of such changes, the ripple effects. And this will continue to evolve. I think we're seeing amongst the fastest change of technology adoption and the consumerization of the enterprise, if you will. And
yeah.
That's having a big impact.
That's a really good thing, because 20 years ago, everything was basically was a computer. Just now you've got your mobile phone and tablet that can do blogs that work like check emails and use certain apps for your company. So it's changed so much, and in my view, changed for the better.
Yeah, I think we all now need to learn how to set boundaries. Like I said, sometimes there is a challenge in being too connected all the time.
Yeah.
And you just want to ensure that you don't end up becoming a prisoner of the technology, but rather use it as an aid to be more productive.
But for me, the good thing is, if you're in bed and wake up in the morning, first thing you can do is you can check your phone and check your emails, and then you can prioritize what's important that day and then plan your day ahead. So you're not in a panic or rush to do that. And if you know that you got an email to look at, oh yeah, that's not important, I can respond later, that's fine. It's important you can respond now, but it gives you the chance to plan your day properly.
Yeah, I mean, it is an always-on world
in
the way that I see it. And you have to figure out how you switch things off. And the technology allows you to make the choice.
I remember years ago, my father got his first mobile phone at work, and he didn't like it because so they can contact me when I'm not at work. When I'm at home, I'm on my own time, but not anymore. A mobile phone has changed things for the worse. And now, in fact, you got a mobile phone that can now do emails and do work via certain apps. It's sadly always going to be on.
It is, and today you see a lot of context-sensitive technologies. So there are always applications that you're carrying that know where you are. You're going to get a lot of personalized information, personalized advertisement. And there's a lot of intelligence in location tracking and contextualization. So I see some very interesting things happening in the industry, which can all have a very positive impact on our lives.
Yeah, and I guess you guys have probably seen an increase on that. Clients because of the pandemic?
Yeah, there was this shift. Our focus previously was in connecting branch office locations to headquarters, to cloud, and this still is a huge mainstay of our business. We have our own technology which resides on-premises, and we have built out a huge global network which is guaranteed for application delivery. And then we suddenly found overnight that there was nobody going into the office, and everybody wanted to take advantage of being able to shift their entire business and operational model. And I think we went through that ourselves, and we allowed our customers also to make that journey very seamlessly over the last year. And this has given birth to more of what we call as the hybrid workplace. You know,
Yeah. The
thing with an organization like ours, we have global customers and a global footprint, we start to see trends ahead of some companies that are more regionally focused. And so there are patterns that evolve and develop in one area, and they start to cascade over a period of time. And nobody certainly anticipated how this pandemic would unfold. But we saw the inklings of it in China when it first began. And so we initially thought that would be fairly self-contained there. And then country by country, we saw similar issues happen, and by that time we were prepared as well in terms of how we would help our customers adapt. So it's been a very interesting 12 to 15 months for sure, but we have learned a lot, and I think we've helped a lot of our customers make their own business journeys smoother. Now we're going to see how we can help a lot of them come back into the offices and get into this hybrid workplace that we talked about.
Yeah, and I guess also you found customers using your products in ways you didn't think they would do before.
Yeah, I think that's right. Certainly, we also became more creative in helping make that happen. We're one of the few names in the industry that is both a technology vendor as well as a managed provider. Typically, you see it as being two different categories, and that causes a lot of challenges to customers in terms of, you know, getting the kind of service agility they want, or something goes wrong, there's finger pointing involved and things like that. In our case, we sort of bring these two disparate worlds together. And so that's always been very beneficial, especially during these times when you need to make rapid changes and they benefit from having one organization that's taking accountability for their service delivery support globally and hand-holding them through this tumultuous time.
And I guess now that you've been through a pandemic and you know that you can do this, if we got another pandemic in the future, you know you can handle it and do more as well.
Yeah, look, every organization has what we call as business continuity or disaster recovery guidelines, yeah. Right? And we've all seen this previously in the context of earthquakes. We have seen this in the context of cyber attacks. We've seen this in the context of, you know, when the connectivity to a certain region goes away because of a hurricane or a tsunami. And so most of our customers are pretty large, mature enterprises that have had business continuity practices fairly hardened.
Yeah.
But this was something that I guess caught everybody unawares. You know, this was business continuity to the extreme.
Yeah.
So I think everybody is now looking at things in a new way. Certainly, there is a lot of emphasis in terms of how do you look at architectures for your network, for your security, for your applications, cloud, in a way that is allowing them not to, you know, get into a state of inertia when something like this happens or put a band-aid solution, but rather to think about architectures more holistically to allow them to manage change and minimize business disruption. Because all of them are still liable to make sure that their businesses are in turn serving their customers and they're liable for the business velocity. And yeah. The pandemic cannot be an excuse for anybody because it's something everybody's going through.
And also, because this has happened now, in the future it happens again, they're ready for it because they've dealt with it in the past and they know that whatever happens in the future happens again, it will be just like it is now and we're prepared for that.
I hope so. You know, we've always had short-term memories as human beings.
Yeah.
And after a period of time, we become invaluable, if you will. But I do think this has raised a sense of awareness for a lot of companies globally. And we probably see that in the context of cybersecurity, right? You see a lot of these hackings and things like that. But you think organizations are prepared, but you find out, wake up in the morning and wake up to yet another headline. So I don't think it's going to be entirely going away, but it is going to be a huge order of magnitude better because having gone through this at this scale is going to leave a lot of positive reinforcement in terms of organizational design. It's going to have an impact on culture. It's going to impact the technology architecture. So I hope there's going to be a lot of good that comes out of it at the end of the day.
Well, I can see a lot more apps, a lot more technologies been developed and used because of the pandemic. And then I'm thinking about 10 years ago, we couldn't do what we're doing now. And we're lucky it happened at the right place in the right time. Like 10 years ago, this happened. 20 years ago, we couldn't do this properly.
Yeah, I think, you know, technology is certainly evolving at a rapid pace for us to, first of all, get visibility. Many times, you know, we may have a solution, but we don't have good visibility into what the problem is. And so part of the equation is just making sure that you have the right kind of ability almost in real time to issues that might potentially go wrong. And for, again, companies like us, because we play a very critical role in terms of being the lifeblood of connectivity for organizations globally, if we don't have the visibility in terms of issues that might develop, it's going to be a lot of firefighting thereafter. So we try to get a lot more proactive and spend cycles in alerts, monitoring, and making sure there's a healthy view that we provide customers. And that allows everybody to be, you know, the reaction response times become inordinately faster as a result.
Because I guess the last thing you want in the pandemic is firefighting.
That's right.
And tell us more about the offices you're opening in Dublin.
Well, as we've seen over the last few years, Ronan, there is a you know, we talked about this cloud first, mobile first world, and what that has led to is really this prevalence of data being everywhere, right? Previously, you'd have data in your data centers and everybody was trying to access it. But with a lot of these applications now moving to the cloud, we have seen that everybody needs to have access to their applications with response time, what we call as latency. And so what Arieka has developed is a global network, and we have put points of presence in a way that we can service the user's needs closer to where the needs are, rather than them being at some kind of distant data center. And so our network has what we call as these points of presence. They are service hubs, essentially. And that allows for applications to kind of get the kind of treatment they desire. So when you're getting onto a call like ourselves, you don't have choppiness there. Or if you're having a video conference, the video doesn't become choppy. So this is very critical for organizations. And we have set up about 40 different points of presence, which allows us to get to almost 95% of the Earth's knowledge workers in a sub 25 millisecond duration. Now, the offshoot of that is you're also seeing different governments become much more nuanced about data privacy and regulation. So while we might still have this high performance connectivity, because of the needs of the local government, we may have to look at this point of presence and our office environment there to be, you know, physical location, which is important to cater to those regulatory requirements. So we saw this, you know, Brexit geopolitical event happen, right? And that is now causing a lot of nuances in terms of regulatory requirements and data. And so we have invested in a point of presence, which is, think of it as like your headquarters, which is next door to your home.
Yeah.
Instead of it being in another country, we have sort of brought the headquarters and co-located close to you. That's kind of what our POPs do. They bring your headquarters closer to your home in a way. And I think Dublin is a very key area for investment. A lot of our customers use that as a manufacturing hub, if you will. There's a lot of, I think, government-sponsored, tax-beneficial subsidiaries. So it's a very good place, a hotbed of activity in the way that we see it. And we thought both from an investment perspective as well as from the regulatory requirements, we wanted to put up this Arieka presence there. We got a lot of positive response for it. Now, internally, we joke about it that our sales officer, who recently got promoted to being a revenue officer, he's Irish. So this is just, you know, pandering to his needs. But in reality, I think there's just a tremendous amount of action going on in Ireland. And so Dublin was a very worthy investment. We already have POPs in London, but this is really taking it to the next level there.
And where can we find more about the jobs? Where do you apply for them? On your website?
Yeah, so we're always building this out based on, you know, where we want a greater footprint. So this cycle, we are actually investing in some more POPs in Europe, certainly in Paris and in Moscow. And we already invested in one in Australia recently. We built out a new one in Vietnam. And so globally, we have about 40 of these and a few more that will come about. As I said, we already have good coverage globally. It's less for connectivity, and I think it's more nowadays for some of the regulatory needs that we end up having to put up a point of presence and scale it up.
Okay, and just before we finish, what's your website address that people can go to find out about these jobs?
Yeah, our website is arieka.com. That's arieka.com. And yeah, we have, you know, I think websites in 5 or 6 languages now, and would welcome people in Europe and particularly those in Dublin, Ireland to come and visit us.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much for that, Sishi. Have a great day and good luck in the future.
Well, thank you for having me, Ronan. You have a good day as well.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter at @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.